नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायो मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैश्चिकी। श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। So on random, I have taken up this sloka from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, Text 20. I'll read the sloka translation and purport and then we will discuss on that. Prasangam ajaram pasam atmana kavayo vidhu saeva sadhu so krito moksha dwaram apavritam. Translation and purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment when applied to the self-realized devotees opens the door of liberation. Yet it is clearly stated that attachment for one thing is the cause of bondage in conditioned life, and the same attachment when applied to something else opens the door of liberation. Attachment cannot be killed. It has to simply be transferred. Attachment for material thing causes material consciousness, and attachment for Krishna or his devotee is called Krishna consciousness. Consciousness therefore is the platform of attachment. It is clearly stated here that when we simply purify the consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness, we attain liberation. Despite the statement that one should give up attachment, desirelessness is not possible for a living entity. A living entity by constitution has the propensity to be attached to something. We see that if someone has no object of attachment, if he has no children, then he transfers his attachment to cats and dogs. This indicates that the propensity for attachment cannot be stopped. It must be utilized for the best purpose. Our attachment for material thing perpetuates our conditional state. But the same attachment when transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His devotee is the source of liberation. Here it is recommended that attachment should be transferred to the self-realized devotees, the sadhus. And who is a sadhu? A sadhu is not just an ordinary man with a saffron robe or a long beard. A sadhu is described in Bhagavad Gita as one who is unflinching, engages in devotional service. Even though one is found not to be following the strict rules and regulations of devotional service, if one simply has faith in Krishna, the Supreme Person, he is understood to be a sadhu. Sadhu reva samantavya. A sadhu is a strict follower of devotional service. It is recommended here that if one at all wants to realize Brahman or spiritual perfection, his attachment should be transferred to sadhu or a devotee. Lord Chaitanya also confirmed this. Lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. Simply by a moment's association with a sadhu, one can attain perfection. Mahatma is a synonym of sadhu. It is said that service to a Mahatma or elevated devotee of the Lord is dwaram ahur vimukte, the royal road of liberation. Mahat seva dwaram ahur vimukte tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. Bhagavatam 5.5.2. Rendering service to the material has the opposite effect. If anyone offers service to a materialist, there is an opposite effect. Or a person engaged only in sense enjoyment, then by association with such a person, the door to hell is open. The same principle is confirmed here. Attachment to a devotee is attachment to the service of the Lord. Because if one associates with sadhu, the result will be that sadhu will teach him how to become a devotee, a worshipper and a sincere servitor of the Lord. These are the gifts of a sadhu. If we want to associate with a sadhu, we cannot expect him to give us instructions on how to improve our material condition. But he will give us instruction on how to cut the knot of contamination of material attachment and how to elevate ourselves in the devotional service. That is the result of associating with a sadhu. Kapil Muni first of all instructs that the path of liberation begins with such association. I thought this was a very, very beautiful sloka, because everybody, all of us in this material world, our basic problem for which we are stuck here in this material world is attachment. All of us have some or the other kind of attachment.
either we are attached to people, or we are attached to places, or we are attached to possessions, or we are attached to positions, or we are attached to money, or we are attached to pleasures of senses. We want to see the best, we want to eat the best, or we want to hear the best. The kind of situation that we are all put now around the world, this lockdown and this whole situation, is because of attachment to pleasure of tongue. There are some people out there who want to eat just about anything for the pleasure of the tongue, and then we are put in this kind of a situation. We are stuck in this material world because of attachment. Because of attachment to something or the other. And here in this chapter 25, Kapil Muni is speaking to his mother Devahuti, and he's giving a very practical solution. He's saying that to give up attachment is not possible. The only thing we can do is we can dovetail that attachment to a saintly person. And here in purport, Prabhupada mentions very beautiful point. He says that if you will be attached to something or the other in this world. If you are not attached to your children, or you don't have children, you will end up being attached to cat and dog. But you will be attached to something. So the best thing that we can do is simply dovetail our attachment to a devotee, to a self-realized person. This is something like when there is a magnet and there is an iron. When the iron is brought close to a magnet, after some time the iron acquires the properties of the magnet. And now afterwards, whatever you bring close to that iron, the iron will attract it towards. So, magnet is Lord Shri Krishna and iron is a devotee, a pure devotee. So once he is attached to Krishna, he also gets qualities like Krishna, or you know, and he also starts attracting everybody towards him. So what we need to do is simply develop attachment towards a devotee of Krishna. Like Prabhupada always said that there are two ways that you can become a drunkard. Either you go to a university and you have a PhD on, you know, what are different kinds of alcohol and what you can do about it. And the other simple way of doing it is you just go to a pub and associate with a drunkard, and you will become drunkard after some time. So the difficult way about it is that you read scriptures, you try your best to link your mind, yoga, you know, connect to Krishna, which is a hard way. And even then, even if you try that way, at some point you need Mahat Kripa. Otherwise, what it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahat Kripa Bina, without the blessings of a devotee, kono karme bhakti na, you cannot do bhakti, you cannot get connected to Krishna. So the best way is that you get connected to a devotee. And what kind of a devotee? A sadhu. Here in purport, Srila Prabhupada says, one who has unflinching faith on Lord Shri Krishna. So when we associate with them, then we also become a devotee. Everybody of us, I believe, who came to Krishna consciousness definitely came because of some devotee. Either some devotee gave us prasadam, or some devotee gave us some book of Prabhupada, or we heard some devotee speaking something, or personally we were very touched by a devotee's behavior, or we were inspired by some devotee's talk, or we were inspired by a devotee's behavior, the devotee's dealing with us, and that attracted us to Krishna consciousness. So once we are attracted to that devotee, and if that devotee is attached to Krishna, then he will lead us to Krishna. I remember when I was young, my mother, when she used to feed my younger sister, she used to take her to the balcony and then, you know, show her some crows, and then when she's looking at the crows, you just feed, you know. Of course, nowadays you don't feed the children that way because of the smartphone. You just put up some cartoon and children are busy looking at the cartoon and you feed them. But those were the days when you just show some pigeon or you show some crow. Now, I remember when my little sister was very young, and my mother, you know, trying to show her, look there, there is crow, look there, there is crow. She never ever looked at the crow. Because what she thought is, you know, just now my mother was sitting very calmly. How come suddenly she's having this animated expressions? So her whole point is she was looking at my mother only for a long time. And after a year or so, when she grew up a little bit more, then she started looking at the point where my mother was pointing towards, you know. So first she was looking at my mother, and then she started looking at what she was pointing towards. So similarly in our spiritual life also, where initially we look at the devotee who inspires us, and then after some time we understand what the devotee is pointing towards. The devotee is pointing towards Krishna. So basically the attachment to the devotee will then slowly lead us to attachment towards Krishna. Now, there may be some people who may argue that, well, in my life it was not devotee. I was directly attached by the beautiful form of Radha Madhav or Radha Damodar or the deities. But that kind of attachment is very superficial. Because we don't even understand what the deity is unless there is an intervention by a devotee, unless there is a devotee who explains us about the deity. I remember this very famous example of His Holiness Loknath Swami Maharaj. Almost all the time in many of his lectures he quotes about how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving a lecture and how one of his disciples missed the lecture and went to darshan, and when he comes back Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asks him, you know, where did you go? And he says, I went for darshan. And Maharaj says, oh, so how was your eye exercise? So because unless and until you hear from a devotee, you wouldn't even realize the importance of the deities. You will simply think the deity is a stone, right? Like, you know, in this in the Hindi language you have this very famous muhavra, says Guru Govind dono khade ka ko lagu pai, balihari guru aapne Govind diyo batai. So if Guru and Govind both are standing, I prefer to pay obeisances to my Guru, because unless and until my Guru would have showed that this is Govind, how will I even know this is Krishna? How will I even know this is Govind? So the saintly people play such an important role in our life because they take us to Krishna. And actually it is very easy to develop an attachment towards deity, but a little difficult to develop an attachment towards devotee, because deity doesn't correct us, because deity doesn't point out our faults, and we feel very comfortable with the deity. Because no matter what you do, you can simply go and stand in front of Krishna and you just pray and come back. But when you are dealing with a devotee, he corrects you, he guides you, he will chastise you, right? So to have a devotee in our life is a boon, you know, because deity won't correct, devotee will correct us, right? Sometimes we blow this balloon of ego, blow this balloon of different anarthas, and it's only a saintly person or a guru who walks in our life and puts a safety pin, puts a pin and pricks our balloon, you know. I remember this very beautiful story that I had come across about a sadhu, you know, who was giving very good teachings. And one village man, he goes to the sadhu and he says, I want to get some knowledge about the absolute truth from you. And the sadhu says, very well, go to the river, take bath, come clean, and I will give you the knowledge. So he goes and he takes bath and he comes to the sadhu. Now while he is coming to the sadhu has a beautiful ashram on the top of a hill, and there are steps leading to his ashram. And while the man has taken bath and he's walking up the upstairs, up the hill, there is this one man who is sweeping the floor. And while he's sweeping the floor, the dust goes on, you know, goes to this man who has just taken bath. This man gets all upset. I just took bath and, you know, the way you are sweeping it, can't you see I was walking, I was going, and why did you do that? He gets all upset on him and almost ready to beat him up. And then he goes to the sadhu. And then sadhu says, well, look, just now I saw what you did. So I guess first you need to control your temper. You come back to me after a year. So he says, all right. And after a year again, he takes bath and he comes up. And the second time, the same man again does the same thing. He's sweeping and the dust goes on to this man, you know. And this time, you know, he didn't abuse him physically, but he curses him and uses all swear words. And then when he enters the sadhu's room, the sadhu is again like, look, you need to control your temple, you come back, you know, come back after a year. The third time he takes a bath after a year and comes to this sadhu, again the same thing happens. But this time he doesn't swear any words, but mentally he's upset. So when he walks in the sadhu's room, the sadhu is like, I think you need one more year. And then the fourth time, after 4 years, when he takes bath and comes, and this time when this man, not only the dust, the whole bucket of dust is thrown on this man, this arrogant man, he just holds the feet of the sweeper and, you know, shows his gratefulness. He said, because of you, you know, last 4 years that you have done to me, now I've lost my anger, I've lost my ego, you know, I'm very grateful to you. Thank you so much. Because of you, I learned how to be patient. And then when he walks into the sadhu's room this time, the sadhu immediately blesses him and he said, now you are ready to take the spiritual knowledge. And I thought that was so beautiful. The step by step, the way the sadhu purified him. He purified him of his ego. He purified him of his arrogance. And ultimately he made him grateful. And I thought that was so beautiful. You know, this time he was grateful that because of you I could get these good qualities. Because of you I could give up anarthas. So who is going to take all this trouble in our life unless we have some guru, or unless we have some devotee, who is going to take this trouble to help us remove our anarthas? So we need to develop an attachment to a devotee, because only devotee, you know, can take us back to Krishna. Whether we like or not, we slowly need to develop affection for devotees. I remember this story in Prabhupada's pastime where Brahmananda Maharaj very innocently, straightforwardly tells Prabhupada, when everybody pays obeisances to you, I don't feel like paying obeisances to you. So what am I supposed to do? So Prabhupada says, whether you like it or you don't like it, you pay obeisances to me. You will start liking it. And we all know now that Brahmananda Prabhu was one of the favorite disciples of Prabhupada. And in his life also, there was nothing but Prabhupada. He dedicated his whole life for Prabhupada till the end. And he was so sincere. Now, it all started with whether he liked it or he doesn't like it. He pays obeisances. And when he pays obeisances to Prabhupada, definitely he's going to get blessings of Prabhupada. In this connection, I remember one story that I had read in my English textbook when I was in school. It was about Baron Rothschild. This Baron Rothschild, in the 1880s, he was a very famous banker. We all know about him, investment banker, very rich man, giving loan to so many people. Because he was a rich man, he had a big, nice palatial house. And the whole house was full of his photos on the horseback, in the army dress, hunting some animal, you know, all over, you know. But one fine day when he was seeing all these beautiful pictures of himself on the walls of his palace, he realized, I have picture in almost every dress, cooking, hunting, swimming, but I don't have a picture of myself like a beggar. How will I look if I am dressed as a beggar? Rich man fantasies. So then he went and approached a painter in France, apparently, who was very famous, and he said, I want you to paint me as a beggar. Now, this painter, who was very famous at that point of time, he said, I just do real life painting, so I can't just imagine you and paint you like a beggar. You really need to dress like a beggar, you really need to look like a beggar, you really need to feel like a beggar, then I can, you know, bring out a best picture. So Baron Rothschild says, what am I supposed to do? So he says, you fast for 6-7 days. You know, you should have that hungry look on your face. You know, haven't eaten for days. And then I can paint a beautiful picture. He said, all right. So he takes a trouble of fasting for 6-7 days. And he's starving. And then now he dresses in old rags. And then they are in France on a beautiful street. And this Baron Rothschild, he's across the street. And he has his beggar's bowl and a very pathetic looking face, and he's standing there, and our painter is on the other side of the street and he's painting him. It's a perfect picture. Now he was so genuinely looking like a beggar that some man who was crossing the street sees him and feels pity towards him and puts a franc, you know, in his beggar's bowl and leaves. Now Baron Rothschild is a rich man. He's been giving loans to big countries, and you know, so imagine somebody comes and puts one franc in his bowl. So he doesn't move because he's getting, you know, they're painting him. So what he does is ask his assistant, you know, go and check who is this man, you know, who put a franc in my begging bowl. So his assistant goes behind this man and checks where he lives. Now this guy is an investment banker. So what he does is, he says to his assistant, this is not a, you know, some alms that he has given me. This is an investment that he has made. So what I'll do is, I will give him with interest back. So after 1 month, Baron Rothschild sends around 10,000 francs to this man. So now his assistant goes with the money and he tells, you know, look here, this is the 10,000 francs for you. And this man asks, but why? So he said, do you remember a month ago you had given a franc to a beggar? He says, I don't remember. I give money to almost so many beggars every time I pass by. That's my nature. I don't remember. So then this assistant of Baron Rothschild tells this man, he said, yeah, you must have given to many beggars, but this particular beggar whom you had given one franc last month was a very special beggar, because he was not a beggar, he was a baron, he was a rich man. So though you gave a franc to him thinking that he is a beggar, but he knows that he is not a beggar, he knows that he is a rich man, so you gave him according to his capacity, and now he is going to give you back according to his capacity and his status. And I thought that was such a beautiful story. If you see in our lives also, when we pay obeisances to our spiritual master or to devotees or any Vaishnav, fine, we pay obeisances according to our capacity. But when the devotee blesses us back or the guru blesses us back, they bless according to their capacity. And their capacity is more than our capacity. Our capacity is very little. But when they bless us back, because maybe we don't know how great they are, but they know how great they are. So they will bless according to their capacity. So I thought that was so beautiful. When we pay obeisances to the devotees, when we offer them service. So the whole takeaway point of this sloka is, somehow or the other way, we should develop attachment to the devotees of Krishna. And not only developing attachment, serve them in some or the other way. Like it says in Bhagavad Gita 4.34, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadeshyanti te jnanam jnanina tatvadarshana. Only a self-realized soul, a devotee, can lead us to the right path. So what we need to do, we just offer them service, we be attached to them, you know, some or the other way, and then they will show us the right way. Now, having made this point today, that somehow or the other, get attached to a devotee, offer him service, and then he can take us to Krishna, I also want to make one other point. What kind of association? Sometimes for us, association is only with the devotee who is a senior. It's not that. Association is of three kinds. Sometimes we associate with devotees who are senior to us. Sometimes we associate with devotees who are newer to us in Krishna consciousness, or junior to us. And sometimes we associate with devotees who are on a equal platform with us. Now, in a devotee's life, we need to take association with all three of them, and more so ever with devotees who are with us on an equal platform, because that can cause a lot of purification. Because when we associate with devotees who are senior to us, it's very easy and very simple. Because those who are senior to us, we always have the thinking that they are pure devotees. So we have no complaint with them. And those who are junior to us, we always have sympathy towards them because they are new and they think we are pure devotees, so we are kind to them. But the problem comes when we want to associate with devotees who are on the same platform. Now the whole trouble starts. This is something like, you know, when you drive a car on a national highway, it's very easy. Because there are lots of distance between car to car. Some cars are really far from us and some cars are way behind, right? So some cars are the cars of the senior devotees. They're just going fast on the way to Goloka. And then some are behind. We want to guide them. But the most difficult part to drive car is when we drive car in a traffic jam. Because that's where accidents happen. So to associate with senior devotees, it's easy. To associate with junior devotees, it's easy. But when we associate with the devotees on the same platform, that's where the trouble starts. Because that's where all problems will start. Our ego props in. That's the place where all these different things will prop up. You know, why should I? Or how, why can't he do this? Or why did he speak like this to me? So I feel that not only associating with senior devotees, we should also try to take association with devotees who are on the same level, because that gives a huge purification. Because I remember this one example given by Hanuman Prishak Maharaj. He said that just like if you have stones which are very sharp ended, and if you put all those stones inside a bag, then what will happen is that the stones, when they just clash with each other, they start softening each other. Something like, you know, if you have been to Haridwar, you can see that near the bank of Ganga, the stones are very soft, round and nice. Because what has happened over the period of time, the waves of the water keep splashing on the stone and making them soft, you know. So sometimes when we associate with devotees from different backgrounds, different places, different swabhavas, and when we associate with them regularly, then, you know, though we may hurt each other, but in this whole process we soften each other also, or I would use the right word, we also help each other giving up our anarthas, like those porcupines, the thorny animals. They stick together in winter time, but they are full of thorns and they prick each other, but at least they are safe because they are together. So in a devotee community, when we associate, there ought to be some problems. But when we stick together, then we help each other giving up anarthas. Because he will hurt my ego and I will hurt his false ego. And in this whole process, we will end up purifying each other. So jeno teno prakarena, by somehow or the other, we need to associate, be in a community, stick together. Because outside world is full of maya. So if we stick together, devotees, then we can protect each other. You know, like you see, even these animals, they have these signs. If you see these deers, they almost all the time are walking or grazing together. Because if they are grazing together, then there are less chances of a lion or a tiger to attack them. But sometimes you see in a herd of deer, there may be some small deer who gets attracted to some green grass somewhere. And when the deer starts grazing and the other deers leave ahead, then the lion or the tiger feels, oh right, now is the time, I got this deer all alone, and the lion or the tiger attacks the deer. So same thing happens in our devotional life too. When we are in a devotee community, then there are less chances for maya to attack us. But the moment we stay back for some greener pastures, or we getting attracted to something, and we leave the association of devotees, that is where maya gets chance to attack us. So we should always try to be in association of devotees and try to associate with devotees on all levels, whether they are senior to us or on the same level, because every association purifies us. And at some point, even if we decide not to continue anymore in this marga, because we are in association of devotees, somehow or the other they will drag us. Like His Holiness Loknath Maharaj always gives this example of Kumbh Mela, that when you are in, you know, with lots of devotees, even if you don't want to walk anymore, if you are in a crowd, somehow you will be pushed by the crowd, you will go, you will take bath in Ganga and you will come back also, and you will never realize also. So the whole process becomes so easy if we are in Sadhu Sangha, if we are in the Devotees Association. Devotees will somehow, and not only that, this whole process of Krishna consciousness is something like entering a cave. When somebody enters a cave, in beginning it's very comfortable because you can still see the light outside, and even though it's a little dark inside the cave, you can see the entrance, so you are comfortable. But when you go in the middle of the cave, that's where you are like, because you can't see the light anymore and you can't see the goal anymore, the exit. Neither you can see the entrance, neither you can see the exit. You are in middle of it. And that's where you start feeling, maybe this is not right for me, I should go back. You know. And if at that time we have a help of a devotee who has already tread the path before and holds our hand, then it becomes very easy. Because beginning is easy, end is fine, because you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. But in between is little difficult. So if we are always in association of devotees, then they will help us move forward. Even if you see in the life of great devotees like Tukaram, or you see Jayadev Goswami, or you see Narasimha Mehta, their wives were not such great devotees. But just because they were in association of devotees, they got the blessings of the Lord. You see, in Tukaram's life, Tukaram was almost always chanting Vitthal, Vitthal. His wife was not very appreciative of it. But she was attached to Tukaram. So her job was to make sure that he has his food on time. So almost every afternoon, she used to have this basket where she carries all the food for him. Now there were small, small hills. And every time she had to climb a hill, search where is Tukaram, where is he sitting and chanting Vitthal's name, and then again climb down, then climb another hill. After some time, she got a better way of doing it. In whichever hill top Tukaram used to chant Vitthal's name, every stone of that hill also used to sound Vitthal's name. So what she started doing after some time, instead of climbing the hill, she used to simply take a stone from that hill, put it next to her ears, and if Vitthal, Vitthal sound used to come from that stone, she knows Tukaram is on that hill. So then she goes, you know, to that particular hill and feeds Tukaram. And at one day it so happened that she was pricked with a thorn, and she's unable to take it out, because you know, when we are ourselves pricked with thorn, it's difficult to take it out by ourselves. But then Lord Krishna himself comes and asks her that, can I take out the thorn? And then she asks, who are you? And then he says, I am, you know, Vitthal or Krishna, whom Tukaram is praying every day. And she says, I don't even want to look at your face, because you are the one because of whom my husband is always going away, you know, from me, and always chanting your name. And she looks in 8 different directions. She doesn't want to look at the Lord. And Lord is requesting her, give me your feet, I'll remove the thorn. So I thought it's so beautiful. Even if she may not be a devotee, because she is attached to a devotee, she's serving a devotee, the Lord himself comes to serve her. You see, in life of Jayadev Goswami, he wrote a 2 lines sloka where he says that Krishna is asking Radharani that please give me your feet. And he's reluctant to write that. And then he goes to take bath. When he goes to take bath, Lord Krishna comes like Jayadev Goswami and he finishes up that song for him. So he takes prasadam cooked by Jayadev Goswami's wife. And when Jayadev Goswami comes back from the river bank, you know, he sees that it's already written what line he was reluctant to write. Lord Krishna himself came as Jayadev Goswami and wrote it. And he was telling his wife that, you are blessed. I've been praying to the Lord all the time, and it is you who gets his darshan, you know. So, though she wasn't devotee, but she was attached to Jayadev Goswami, so she got Lord's darshan. You see, in life of Narasimha Mehta, very pure devotee from Gujarat, you know, there is apparently his father's death ceremony and he doesn't have money for it, and he goes out in the market trying to make some arrangements, and meanwhile the Lord comes dressed as Narasimha Mehta and completes the whole death ceremony very grandly. And then when Narasimha Mehta comes back, you know, he's surprised to see that the whole ceremony is over and everybody had prasadam and left. And then when his wife tells that, you know, it was you who came, and then Narasimha Mehta clarifies, no, it was not me, maybe the Lord came dressed as me. And then he tells his wife that it's me who has been praying to the Lord all the time, and you get darshan. So I thought that was so beautiful point that somehow or the other, if we get attached to the devotees of Krishna, if we take their association, if we serve them, we get a free darshan of the Lord. You know, so like in Bhagavatam 11th canto, Krishna says to Uddhav, Mad Bhakta Pujadhikam, worship my devotees. In the same canto, Krishna says to Uddhav that I follow my devotee, you know, because the dust of the feet of my devotee purifies the whole world, and I follow my devotee, you know, wherever he goes. You see, in the 9th canto, 11th chapter, 19th sloka, it says that when Lord Rama left this world, he kept his lotus feet in the heart of the devotees and left. So that means when we are worshipping devotees or when we are serving devotees, we are actually serving the Lord, because the Lord's lotus feet are in the heart of a devotee. We see in the pastimes of Ambarish Maharaj, where Lord says that I am in the heart of my devotee, Sadunam Hridayam Tuham. I don't know anybody except him, and he doesn't know anybody except me. So Lord is in devotee's heart. So like that, we see so many examples. We see in Maharaj Rahuguna's life, in the temple here in Bhagavatam class, this pastime is going on from 5th canto, 12th chapter, sloka number 12, when Maharaj Rahuguna asks Jad Bharat, you know, where did you get this knowledge from? You know, how come you are so advanced? And then Jad Bharat tells Maharaj Rahuguna, he said, the only way to know the absolute truth is by rubbing your entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of the devotee. And he says that even if you are, you know, drowning yourself in cold water in winter, or you are sitting in the middle of the fire in summer, or even you take sannyas, or even you follow all the rules and regulations of the scriptures, you still can't understand absolute truth unless and until you smear your body with the dust of the lotus feet from the devotees of the Lord. And I thought that was a very beautiful point, you know. Unless and until we get the mercy of the devotees of the Lord, we cannot understand this knowledge. I want to give one last story and wind up here, because I want to open it up for question and answers. In Mahabharata, I came across this very beautiful story of how King Yudhishthir has his first Ashwamedha Yajna. And the rule is like that, when the Ashwamedha Yajna is done, he's supposed to feed all the Brahmanas. And if all the Brahmanas are happy, then the bell rings, you know, the big bell. It rings automatically in their kingdom, so as to say that your Yajna is successful. Now he had a grand Yajna. He fed all the Brahmanas, but the bell was not ringing. He said, what happened? Where did I do a mistake? So he sends his soldiers, find out. Go and find out and meet every sadhu and ask, did they have prasadam, you know, full stomach. So they go out and ask every sadhu, and every sadhu is like, yeah, yeah, we got charity, we had nice prasadam, we're very happy. Finally, they come across one sadhu. He says, I didn't go for the lunch hosted by Yudhishthir Maharaj. And they said, why? He said, ask Yudhishthir to come and meet me, I'll tell him. So Yudhishthir Maharaj goes to him and says, Maharaj, why didn't you come? Please come to my house and I feed you. And then he says, definitely I'll come, but I have a condition. You should give me the benefit of having 100 Ashwamedha Yajna, and then I'll come to your house. So Yudhishthir Maharaj said, definitely, I'm ready to do that, Maharaj. But the only problem is, this was my first Ashwamedha Yajna, right? So allow me to complete another 100, and definitely I'll offer the fruit of all that Ashwamedha Yajnas at your lotus feet. So this Maharaj repeats again. He said, can you understand my language, what I'm trying to say? I said, first you give me the fruit of 100 Ashwamedha Yajna, only then I'll come. And Yudhishthir Maharaj is saying, but how can I give you the fruit? I haven't even performed 100 Yajnas. This sadhu says, that's not my problem. You give me that phal and it's only then I'll come to you. Now Yudhishthir Maharaj is like, what am I supposed to do? So, you know, he's having sleepless nights. So one day he shares this with Draupadi. You know, I'm in big mess. I'm unable to complete my yagya properly because this sadhu is reluctant, he doesn't come for having prasadam. Draupadi says, oh really, this is so simple, I'll sort it out, just give me, oh tomorrow morning it'll be done, I'll bring the sadhu home. So Draupadi, she goes in the morning, gets a sadhu for lunch. Now everybody is surprised, Yudhishthira Maharaj and everybody. So after they feed the sadhu and the sadhu leaves, they all ask Draupadi, how did you manage to do that? Draupadi said, it's very simple. I went to the sadhu, I asked him to come for lunch. He put the same condition. He said, look, have you done 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas? If you have done and if you give me the fruit, only then I'll come. So then I quoted from the scriptures to the sadhu. I told him that it is said in the scriptures that whoever goes to meet a sadhu with love and devotion, every step that you walk towards the sadhu, every step gives you benefit of performing 100 Ashwamedha Yajna. So now from my palace, I walked all the way to meet you. I have accumulated the fruits of so many Ashwamedha Yajna and I transfer that to you. So she, you know, there is this quote in Hindi, says that sadhu milan ko jaiye tyaje man apaman ek ek pag aage bade koti yagya saman. When you go to meet a sadhu, every step that you take towards him in anticipation, oh, I'm going to meet this devotee today, oh, I'm going to meet this devotee, every step that you take, koti yagya saman, it gives you the benefit of 100 Ashwamedha yagyas. So then Draupadi said, look, very simple, I walked from my palace to meet a great devotee like you, and here I have accumulated so much good karma or the fruit of so many yagyas, and I transfer the fruits to you. And I thought that was so beautiful. In ISKCON, we are blessed by Srila Prabhupada of getting association of devotees so very easily. We shouldn't take it very lightly. We should be very grateful that we are able to get the association of devotees so easily. We shouldn't take it for granted and take advantage of it. And not only associate or be attached to a devotee sentimentally or emotionally, but we should be also attached to them on a practical level, that is, attached to them as being servant of Krishna, serve them with their Vapu Seva, Vani Seva, get their blessings, and with their help and guidance, embark on our journey back home, back to Godhead. I'll end it here because I think I'm over time, and I'll open for any corrections, suggestions by devotees. Yes.
Yeah, Mataji, it's an association, right? When we are in a remote place, we could find any association. What do we do, Mataji?
Yeah, now we can have a Vani association. We are able to associate with the devotees, and I feel again, it is, what is the definition of devotee is also very important. Even in our own house, if we, if everybody is Krishna conscious, then we are taking association. If our husband is a devotee, a wife is a devotee, then we are having that association. And to get a higher association, yeah, we hear, classes and we take Vani association by the Vani. Because anyway, that association is more important because it uplifts us. When we hear, so it's not always possible to physically associate with devotees, but even in our own house, if we have Vaishnava devotees, say, who is a Vaishnava again is, like we all know in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this famous quote by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when the devotees come from Puri, come to Puri to meet him and they ask who is a Vaishnava, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, anybody who chants Krishna's name once is a Vaishnava. And the same devotees, they again meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after 1 year and ask the same question, who is a Vaishnava? And this time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, one who chants constantly Krishna's name is a Vaishnava. And then again 3rd year, when these devotees come to Puri, they ask this question to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a Vaishnava? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, one who reminds you of Krishna is a Vaishnava. So there are different kinds of Vaishnava. One who chants one time is also a Vaishnava. One who constantly chants is a Vaishnava. One who inspires us to chant is a Vaishnava. So we have geographical limitations, and it's not always possible to have physical association of devotees, but at least now because of technology we have Vani association. And I believe if we keep chanting and praying to the Lord, ultimately there will be such situation in our life where we can actually meet a devotee and physically serve the devotee. So that is also possible, even if it's not constantly, regularly, but definitely we can go sometimes on yatras or visit holy places and then take association of devotees. I hope it answers your question. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hello, hi, this is Niran Chaudhary from New Jersey. Mataji, this is a fantastic presentation. Thank you very much. My question is, you mentioned about devotees and who is self-realized. How do you define the self-realization? I was thinking that self-realized person is generally considered as a guru. Kindly explain what is the status of the
Before I started the class, I was reading this purport by Srila Prabhupada. And then here you see, he says, he mentions, this is page number 386. He says, who is a sadhu? A sadhu is not a man with a saffron robe. A sadhu is one who unflinchingly engages in devotional service, even though one is found not to be following the strict rules and regulations of devotional service, if one simply has unflinching faith in Krishna. So I was thinking, anybody who has faith in Krishna, an unflinching faith in Krishna, anybody who inspires us to be more close to Krishna, we take him as sadhu. See, again, this is something little controversial here, because sometimes we associate with some people who are like-minded, but I always say that we shouldn't associate with somebody who is like-minded. We should associate with somebody who is right-minded. Because like-minded means he may have the same vrittis like us. If we are not so advanced, and we also, you know, and the other person also not so advanced, but we are like-minded, we have same anarthas, and there is not much progress. But if we associate with the right-minded, then there will be some progress if they are little better than us in Krishna consciousness. Now again, having said that, how will I know this person is better than me, advanced than me? I think somewhere we need to use our own discretion, because I think we are smart enough to understand that when I associate with these devotees, I feel today my rounds were better. I'm feeling more inclined to do Krishna Seva. Oh, I'm clarified of my doubts. I'm feeling very happy. So then I continue association. Then there are some devotees whom I associate with. They're a little negative. The moment I associate with them, I'm not so motivated to do service. So you need to make your... Because there is no formula as such, you know, that you need to check. See, if we want to check in the same canto, same chapter, you see there will be some other sloka. Oh yeah, the next sloka. He says, what is the symptom of a sadhu? Kapil Muni is telling Devahuti, Titikshava, Karunika, Suhrida, Sarvadehinam, Ajata, Shatrava, Shantava, Sadhu, Sadhu Bhushana. Oh, so many qualities of sadhu. He should be tolerant, he should be merciful, he should be friendly, he should have no enemies, he should be peaceful. Oh, so you can check if these qualities are there. But I'm sure it's not always easy to find a sadhu who has all these qualities and who is easily available to get his association. So I guess we need to adjust with whatever little association we have. We may not have somebody who is like perfect, but at least we can associate with somebody who is a little better than us, who is motivating us. And just because if we are looking, you know, if we are looking to associate with somebody who has all these qualities mentioned on 3.25.21, then it will take some time, you know, to get that kind of hold of that sadhu. And even if we get hold of him, he should have time for us, right? That's why you see there's one sloka mentioned that what kind of sadhu that you should associate with, who has sajatiya, who is of same goal. You have a goal to go back to Krishna, and he also has a goal to go back to Krishna. He has no goal to settle here materially. He has affection for you, and he's willing to help you. I feel personally, we should see these three qualities, and that should be fine. He should be willing to help us. He should be willing to give us time. He should have the same goal, like we want to go back to Krishna and he wants to go back. And he is merciful. Because you see, even advanced devotees, like for example, we see in the life of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, He didn't want to give initiation. He didn't want to accept disciples. He didn't want to teach anybody. He was master, happy in his own. If you see in the life of Lokanath Goswami, he didn't want to give an initiation. Narottam Das Thakur had to work so hard to get, you know, I mean, we all know that story, right? Narottam Das Thakur, he cleans the place where Lokanath Goswami used to pass stool for 1 year. And Lokanath Goswami never realized. He said, I go and pass stool here. Who cleans it? You know, every day morning when I come back, this place is so clean. And then after 1 year, he realized it was Narottam Das Thakur who was doing it. And then finally, he agrees to give him initiation. So there are sometimes really advanced sadhus that we come across. But the problem is they may not be interested to give us instructions. They may not be interested to help us. Then what? So that means we need to adjust a little bit here. Even if we don't have all the qualities mentioned in Nectar of Instruction, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodhave, or in this, at least we can try and take association of those who are a little more advanced than us, whose association is helping us, motivating us, inspiring us to do a little better than what we were doing yesterday. I hope this helps. This answer helps you. This is what is coming to my mind right now. I'm sorry, can you repeat your question again?
Oh, Bhakti, I was wondering, how did you get into Krishna consciousness? Because your lecture was amazing and you seem very, very, very knowledgeable on this topic. And, yeah.
Oh, if I got the question right, you want to know how did I come to Krishna consciousness? I don't know if it will be interesting to all those senior devotees present here. But as it matches with the sloka, what I said today, I also came into Krishna consciousness because of a devotee's intervention in my life. I was in school, and of course I studied in ISKCON school for a couple of years in Secunderabad, and then the school closed and I moved to a convent school. And to put the long story short, I attended a summer camp conducted by a devotee in ISKCON, Hyderabad. And then I topped it. They had some contest at the end of the camp. And the prize of the camp was that you get a free trip to Sridham Mayapur with your family. So that's how I ended up going to Sridham Mayapur. I was in class 7, yeah. I was in class 7 when I went to Mayapur. So with my family, and then His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Guru Maharaj, when he came for Rath Yatra to Hyderabad, he gifted me with Srila Prabhupada's biography. I was in class 7 at that time, and I ended up reading the whole biography of Srila Prabhupada under a blanket whole night with a torchlight. Because my mother would, you know, make sure that I sleep on time because I have to attend school. But I read the whole Prabhupada Leelamrit under a blanket with a torch. And I guess at the end of it, I was very inspired. And though those days I was in school going girl, but the end of it, when I read that, even at that age, when I was very young, I thought, I want to dedicate my life to this old man. I want to do something. And of course, that was very young to even think about something like that. But I guess Prabhupada was so merciful, because when I wished like this to Prabhupada, I want to serve in your mission, and somehow by his mercy, my life went into such a direction, and I ended up becoming a full-time devotee. So it's a long story, but this is how it went. It started with going to Mayapur, and started with Prabhupada's Leelamrit reading and Prabhupada's blessing and my Guru Maharaj. And then I ended up becoming a full-time devotee. So yeah, 96 I took initiation from His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj in Atlanta. And from then on, yeah, I'm serving whatever way I can in ISKCON.
Understand, you know,
No, that last line I could not understand. You said when you come across devotees who are what?
Devotees who are not nice to you, or does not listen, you know,
okay.
Kind of,
okay.
Know,
Prabhuji, what I understand from your question, if I've got it right, is when you are in management and you have devotees serving under you, and sometimes you want to correct them, but they may be too sensitive to take it, so how do you go about it without hurting them? Is it? Okay. 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 I think we can take it on different levels. When we are dealing with, I'll speak on three levels, because there are three different kind of devotees that we deal with. When we deal with devotees who are younger to us in Krishna consciousness, it is sometimes possible, because in management, you know, when you are dealing with devotees, you correct them, they may feel hurt, they may be sensitive. But what I've observed from my personal, this is, if you have invested sufficiently in them, then they will take your guidance very nicely. It's like if you have invested in their spiritual life sufficiently, then definitely they will be open to take suggestions and corrections from you. But if you haven't, like if you are a manager who doesn't speak Krishna Katha, but you just manage things, you just keep telling them, do this, do that, do this, do that, they may not have that feeling to serve you. But if you have invested in their spiritual life, if you have given them spiritual guidance, if you are helping them to connect to Krishna, and you have invested your time and energy with them, definitely when you correct them, see, it's like you give before you take. So you give them so much love, affection, and you help them so many ways to connect to Krishna, and then they're so indebted and so grateful to you. And then when you ask them for service, oh, they will do it wholeheartedly. And then when you ask them for correction, or when then you make a correction, they will do it. Now this is dealing with devotees who are under you, or whom you are trying to help or improve. Now there are devotees who are on the same level with you. Now you may see sometimes fault in them and you want to correct them. Now there are two ways again, like as Prabhupada said, first you appreciate them and then you correct them. Or the other way, safe way, if it's not that important for you to correct, then sometimes better to ignore also, I would say, for our, unless, I mean, again, now if there are two things here. If you are in management, definitely you will have to correct people, because sometimes if you don't correct them, then it may be hampering the organization. So that's again a different formula. But let's say if you are not in the management, and you see devotees who are having some anarthas, and you get demotivated by them, then there's one thing you can always remember. I like this one example. I don't know where I heard it, but there was one devotee who was talking about this, is that let's say there is a house, and you are sitting very comfortably on your couch in the house, and on the top of the roof in your house, there is a hole, and there is a ladder which takes you up. Now imagine you are sitting in your drawing room, you are happy, and suddenly there is a fire. Now the best thing that you would do is you will take the ladder, climb the ladder, go right up from the hole out, and try to jump out from the house and escape. Now at that moment, if there are some other people who are sitting in that same drawing room trying to tell you something, look Prabhu, this is not the way you climb the ladder, okay? Look Prabhu, this is not the t-shirt you wear when you're climbing the ladder. Look Prabhu, these spectacles are not, at that time you will not be bothered what he's talking about, you just want to escape. Take the ladder, you will not come down from the ladder and try to explain, look, this is not what, you are not bothered, you just want to get out. So same thing applies to our life. This is samsara davanala. Oh, it's burning. Oh, we need to just get out from this place. So sometimes we need to be like, forget about who is thinking what, who is saying what. We do our, you know, seriously in our Krishna consciousness, and we just move out. But again, if we are in management, then we just can't selfishly move out. We need to help others also. So at that time, we do it very nicely without offending any Vaishnava. And we appreciate that Vaishnava. And only if you are in management is what I would again and again stress. Because you see, even in this Rukmini Krishna Samvad, you know, if you have heard that, where Krishna is teasing Rukmini, in the Krishna book the story comes, and Krishna is teasing Rukmini, why did you leave your parents and come to me? You left your parents and come to me, today you will leave me and go away, you know, something like that. There is a whole conversation. And then Rukmini is so upset, and this is not there in Krishna book, but I have read it where Narad Muni comes there, you know, at that place, and I think so. Narad Muni comes to that place, and then Krishna tells Narad Muni, you know, can you tell Rukmini, you know, see how she's getting upset over me? And then Narad Muni makes a very beautiful statement. He said, in this world, only two people can correct you or criticize you. He said, either your guru or your husband. Rest of them have no right. So in this case, I'm not Rukmini's guru, so leave me out of this husband and wife fighting and conversation. I'm out of it. So I thought that was one very beautiful point that Narad Muni made, that unless we are somebody's guru, or you are a father or a husband, we shouldn't try to put our nose into anybody's life and try to correct them, because we don't know how we take it, and it may end up being a Vaishnava aparad, you know, and unnecessarily, you know, we are put in such a situation where a Vaishnava is hurt by us. So unless and until we are in management, and if we are in management and we have to do it, then we do it with a very humbler mood in our heart, by asking forgiveness to that devotee in our heart also when we are correcting him. Oh, I'm sorry, Prabhu. I know I really don't want to say this, but I have to. So you can, even if you don't tell that devotee in words, you can always keep that in your heart. Oh, I'm so sorry that I'm correcting this devotee, but I need to do it because this is my seva, right? Sometimes it's our seva. Somebody like a teacher who has to correct question papers. She has to give a wrong and she has to give a right. That's her seva. So sometimes because it's our seva, we do it. But only thing is, we can keep having introspection, and draw a thin line that are we doing as a seva, or somewhere has our ego cropped up. That is why what I feel is this whole Krishna conscious process is so much about introspection. What are you actually thinking in your mind, you know? So what is your intention more than your action is also very important. So if in our mind we are, you know, grateful to that devotee, oh, he's doing so nice service, but only if he could make this particular change in him, we ask forgiveness to him in our mind. You know, if he's not on that level where we directly put, you know, in words, because sometimes they may be little junior, or they may, then we can just put forgiveness in, you know, I'm sorry, Prabhu, I'm correcting you, but I need to do it. So we can do it that way. And sometimes, if we find fault with those who are seniors, you know, that may also happen. Sometimes you see something wrong in a devotee who is senior to you. So there also you have to be very careful, because, you know, what it says in scriptures, Vaishnaver Kriya Mudra Vigena Bujai. You are a scholar also, you cannot understand what is a Vaishnava's Kriya Mudra, how he behaves, what he talks, why he talks, what he does, why he eats like this, why he's... You cannot understand. So we should always be careful, give benefit of doubt, don't be judgmental, making conclusions. Oh, this devotee did like this, so he must be like this only. There must be some reason behind. So these are the different ways. I mean, I can go on and on, but I think I hope it helps you. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. Krishna Mataji. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. I have a question. You did mention about associating with devotees, which helps us remove our anattas. When you are associated with advanced devotees and you're trying to grow or start your spiritual life, and you still have material attachments, right? Even though your goal is to go back to Godhead, and you have material attachment, what does that mean? Is it cheating, or how do you make yourself understand that?
Okay, now your question is that you're already associating with a devotee, but you still have material attachments, so is it cheating? yourself or the devotee. Mm-hmm. Okay, but I think we are all in the process, so nobody is like 100% complete. So we know, like, what is the 10th offense, you know, in chanting of the holy name, to maintain material attachment even after understanding so many instructions in this matter. Right? This is the 10th offense, right? We read every day in the morning. So, yeah. Everybody of us are trying to come to a stage where we have absolute no material attachment, but it's a gradual process. It's not something that happens overnight. But we keep trying. It goes step by step. So I'm sure, you know, it's not that you are cheating anybody. We are all in hospital, right? And everybody is taking medicine, you know, in different quantities. And sometimes somebody recovers within 10 days, somebody takes 15 days, and it's a matter of time. What I feel is that it's not about the result, it's about the process. We shouldn't give up on process. It's very important. You are in the right process, right way, you are taking the right drugs, you are connected to the right doctor, and that's about it. Sometimes your body will take a little time. That's all right. So you're not cheating anybody. Just be connected and see, I was basically, even if we want to go back to Krishna, definitely it's not going to happen because one day we have become very advanced and we don't have any more anarthas and we are having Shuddha Naam chanting. It's not going to happen. What is going to take us back is, like we say, Krishna is not sadhan siddh. He is he comes because of his own karuna. We can't achieve him because we did our best and we did 100% everything perfect. It's going to happen because he feels at least he's trying 100%. So I feel what we can do is we can try 100%. See, remember, even when our children grew up, you know, when they were young and they were walking, sometimes they fall. You know, sometimes we show them some toy and they get attracted to that toy and they start walking towards us and they fall and they've come up and they've... But you know what happens at the end? Sometimes the child is not able to come up to us for the toy, but because the child has made so much endeavor, sometimes we only get up from our chair and go and give the toy to the child ultimately. Oh, he's trying so hard to come to me. This is what happens in Krishna consciousness also. It's not that we will become 100% perfect, but because we are trying 100%, one day Krishna will be like, oh my God, my child is trying so much. All right, done, I take you back. Because it's only he who can purify anyway. It's not us who can, you know, one fine day become a pure devotee and give up material attachment. Only thing that is there in our hand is we can make our 100% endeavor. We keep trying and we keep trying, and ultimately one fine day Krishna will be like, all right, I'm happy, come back, you know. So, I mean, I hope that helps you, Mataji.
I have a question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you also give the example of the husband correcting.
Mm.
No other devotee person can really correct someone. How does that work with, in a relation with kids, our own kids? How does it work?
Okay, if I understand your question, you are saying that I told only guru can correct and husband can correct, then how can we correct our kids? Oh Prabhu, we are definitely guru for our kids. We are their siksha gurus. So definitely we are a guru for our kids and we can correct them. We are the first gurus. We are the first gurus. No, I don't believe in this philosophy of until a certain age. This is a new age philosophy. Become friends with your children. I feel your children already have many friends. You stay there as a father. I think they need a father and mother. So I, at the same time, I'm not trying to say that you are unreasonable with them. What I'm trying to say is that this modern trend of trying to become a friend is becoming a little too much. And because of that, sometimes the children go out of control. So, yeah, you know, I've heard stories about, you know, some children misbehaving in such a way with the parents, and the parents stick to that philosophy of, but I have to be friend. Yeah, there is a certain way about doing it, you know. So yeah, you become a friend, but you know, it's not that you stop guiding them or you stop correcting them. Only thing, you change your ways of correcting them. So it doesn't mean that, you know, it says panchavarsha lalana, you know, that Sanskrit sloka, after up to 5 years you give them affection and after 15 years you became their friend. Becoming friend doesn't mean that you don't correct them. Becoming friend only means that you correct them in a friendly way. You correct them in a friendly way, but you remain their guru for a sure, for the rest of their lives, you know. So, yeah, yeah. You are a guru to your children, definitely.
Thank you, Mataji. But I'm just about to ask you, Shastra says that until five...
Yeah, yeah, panchavarsha lalayan, yeah, yes. Tadayan, you know, you can, yeah, after some... Yeah, 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 definitely, definitely. Yeah, but the whole intention is the way you talk now will change as a friend. So you will correct now, but you will correct in a friendly way, or you will, the way he understands, you know. Like, see, the way you speak to a 2-year-old is so different. Your vocabulary, your body language, the way you speak to your 17-year-old is a little different, right? Yeah. So, yeah, but you don't stop correcting. Yeah. No. Thank you, Prabhu. Okay, so your question is that, yeah, Krishna, like Prabhupada always said, that Krishna consciousness process is very simple, but it's not easy. In the sense that you need to constantly do it. It is something like, you know, when you go to a movie, every time you don't see a same movie, you see different movies, okay? And that is entertaining. But when you go to a gym, you have the same machines all the time. The same machine. Now you can't say I want something different. You need to constantly work on those same machines if you want some improvement in your health or your fitness. So same thing is with Krishna consciousness. It's the same process. 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles, sadhana, aarti, kirtan, prasadam, the whole thing. But you need to constantly do it in order to get some result. You need to patiently pursue it, right? So yes, at some point of time, see, like Prabhupada always said, it's easy to get inside, but what is difficult is to remain. Like many times, devotees used to come to Prabhupada and say, Prabhupada, this person left the movement, that person left our movement. And Prabhupada said, why are you looking at those who left? Why not you look at those who stayed back? You know, I am indebted to them. So it's easy to come into Krishna consciousness, but what is difficult is to constantly stay. It is something like, you know, many times I give this example. If you are in a wilderness, let's say you are in a forest, it's very difficult in that dark place, cold winter night, to somehow try to get some twigs from here and there, rub two stones, lit up a fire. It's very difficult, very difficult. But more difficult will be to make sure that the fire remains. Because now what will happen, you have somehow lit the fire. But now if you doze off, after some time the fire will be lit off. Now you can't doze off. Whole night you have to go on collecting more twigs, put in the fire, more twigs, put in the fire, and make sure the fire goes on. The same thing is with Krishna Bhakti. It's easy to get inside because, you know, because of some devotee's blessing on you, you will somehow get. You know that what is the sloka? Guru Krishna Kripate Pai Bhakti Lata Bij Brahmande Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev. So we've been moving around for so many lifetimes, but because of some Vaishnava's intervention in our life and because of the causeless mercy of Krishna or some Vaishnava, we may somehow get inside. But okay, their mercy we got inside, but no, maintaining has to be our endeavor. So with their blessings, okay, somehow we developed an attraction towards Krishna. Somehow we left eating meat or anarthas and we started chanting and we started having a regulated life. But now to maintain will be our personal endeavor. And that is difficult. That is difficult, but we need to take constant association of devotees and maintain it, because this is something like you are on a treadmill. You know, you need to keep walking and walking. If you stop, you will fall. That's what happens. See, nobody can say that I'm okay in Krishna consciousness, or I am at the same place where I was last year or before year. No, either you are going down or you are going up. There is nothing like remaining stable in Krishna consciousness. So you have to constantly work hard, because either you have to move forward, otherwise you will be going backward. There is no other option. There are only two options. That means a devotee has to work really hard to maintain this enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. So of course there are so many tips about it, how you maintain it. You take devotees association, and most importantly, personally I feel, why sometimes the enthusiasm is lost is because of Vaishnava Prad. This is one thing we need to be so careful. See, Bhakti Marg or living in a community has its own advantages and disadvantages. Imagine we were a Jnana Yogi or we were a Dhyana Yogi. We would have been, you know, somewhere on Himalaya, sitting inside a cave. There is no other Vaishnava we offend to. The only thing we can offend is a spider who must be making some cobweb in the cave. So there is no Vaishnava Prad. So it's okay. But Bhakti Marg, it is like a knife which we are walking in, and it has very sharp this, and it can be two ways. It can help us, you know, to move very fast in Krishna consciousness, but the other problem is very easily also we can be pulled down if we make Vaishnava Prad. So that is a problem. When we take Vaishnava association, we can go so fast in Krishna consciousness, but the other problem is if we make Vaishnava Prad, in the same speed we fall down. That is why you see in our lives, and I guess in all of our lives, the first time that we attended an aarti in ISKCON temple, the first time that we tasted a prasadam, the first time that we attended a class, oh, that was something so special, so beautiful, so different. We don't have that same enthusiasm now when we attend a class or we attend an aarti, or somehow. And why that happens is because of Vaishnava Prad. So there can be so many elaborations about it. I'm just trying to take one view, you know, one point or one dimension of it where we can work on, you know, because we are in communities. And that is where we make mistakes in communities. Sometimes we make mansik aparad, you know, Vaishnava aparad, mentally sometimes. Did I tell you this in Skanda Puran? It says that you make six different kinds of Vaishnava aparad. He said that if you get angry on a Vaishnava, it's an aparad. If you get envious of a Vaishnava, it's aparad. If you criticize a Vaishnava, it's aparad. If you don't respect a Vaishnava, when you see the Vaishnava, you don't pay obeisances, it's an aparad. If you kill a Vaishnava, it's an aparad. If you don't smile at a Vaishnava, when you look, it's an aparad. Oh, and when I was reading that, I thought, oh my God, how many Vaishnava aparads we must be making day in and day out without even realizing. So that is one thing which makes Krishna consciousness difficult, because we make Vaishnava aparad and then we fall down, and then we lose taste in chanting, and then we lose taste in hearing, and then the whole cycle follows. So we need to cut it down at the root. Where is that? What is that which is bringing our enthusiasm down? So we need to make sure that we have healthy and beautiful relationship with devotees, and we don't make any aparad, then I think Krishna consciousness is not so difficult. What do you need to do? Just take prasad, follow four regulative principles, chant Hare Krishna, read scriptures, associate with devotees and be happy. It's a simple process. But we make it complicated because of aparad, and then we lose enthusiasm. So of course, I just spoke of one dimension. There could be so many other dimensions. It can be a class by itself actually. I hope it could help some way, Prabhu.
Sab Krishna, Krishna.